Okay, we're on page Kuf Chaf Aleph. We're going to be skipping, but we started last week, we just started this paragraph where we're learning that the Baruch Shalom gave us really two special matonis, two special gifts to help us change our way of looking at reality, two special gifts. And then afterwards after he discusses these two gifts, so he talks about the result of living in this way, and the result is a tremendous, tremendous amount of simcha that's infused into a person's life. So the two gifts that we're going to talk about now a little bit are the gifts of Torah, learning Torah, and the gift of tefillah, of davening. So that's what we're up to on page Kuf Chaf Aleph, where it says, we started to read the paragraph. So the first one is, he says, Shtei Helig Matonish Avinishu B'Shemayim Nosan Lanu Kerech HaTorah HaKadosha V'Kerech HaTefillah V'Sayim Lanu Harbi L'Gila Zeh Nadaba Kerech HaKerech HaTorah HaKadosha. There are pages right here. Look in the box there. So, we're going to begin by talking about the Koich of Torah. Now, as I mentioned last week, obviously, this is going to be more limited when it comes to the average life of a wife, a mother, or even a single girl who does not necessarily experience the rigid and intense life of the Beis Medrash. Nevertheless, certainly it does apply even to women, as we'll see. Avinu shebishmayim nosen gevaldige koyach beheilige Torah kedosh shebekoyach leroimim yehudi gar shtark bli hasog bli gevul, that the Baruch Shalom gave a certain koyach in the Torah, that the Torah has the ability to lift a person up in a very powerful way. Bli hasog bli gevul haTorah kedosh hibchina shel or. That's why throughout Tanakh the Torah is referred to as light. And the reason it's referred to as light is because now you can see things the way they really are. When the room is dark, like the Ramchal talks about that, when the room is dark, you could mistake a person for a pillar, a pillar for a person. You don't know what's there. You don't know what reality is. The Torah is called, or it's called light, because it's through the Torah that we're able to discern what is real and what's not real. We're able to know what's important, what's not important. That's why it's called or light. Torah or v'ha'er einenu b'sarasecha, we daven v'ha'er einenu b'sarasecha, Hashem illuminated our eyes with the Torah. It's not just the spiritual thing. It means that through the Torah, a person is able to see what's right, what's important. He's able to prioritize. Mi'iris einayin, the heilige Torah machlechti, the Torah kadosha often the eigen, yedesh shofen Torah kadosha, yedesh shorbet sifas. He says, I guess we can go to the Yiddish, to the Hebrew. So look at Peivav, down below there. HaTorah kadosha mi'iris kol mechshakei ha'ilam hazeh. The Torah has the ability to illuminate all the darkness of this world, as kol hadimyonis shav, all the dimyonis, all the illusions, all the fantasies, as kol hakitness and the smallness, shayetsa marshlechaysan alasaychan, that the Yetzirah throws us into this kitness, into smallness. We've been talking about the last few weeks. HaTorah kadosha mara lanu shenira ba'atzmeinu shekol hashtuyas ha'elu hem be'em hashtuyas. A person who spends his or her entire life reading newspapers and novels, even reading more intelligent books, is living a life that's filled with demyonis. Your entire life is filled with demyonis. The same way that if you listen to the radio or you watch the television, or even if you're listening to the news, so you're listening to the way that the news is being presented through the eyes, through the minds and the hearts of people who are, if not deranged, close to being deranged, and they might be intelligent people, but their take on what's important, what's not important, is totally different from ours. So you could open up a newspaper, there could be a huge article about Narishkeit, about some tumah, and then, you know, on page 50, in the little corner, somewhere in the right-hand corner, you know, that somebody was hurt in Eretz Yisrael. It's all different priorities. So when a person, only when a person learns Torah, is through the study of Torah, he's explaining that a person knows that shtusim, narishkeit is narishkeit. You know what narishkeit is. When you learn Torah properly and you learn Torah in depth, then the narishkeit and the silliness no longer takes hold of your mind. It no longer occupies your thoughts. And then you're not bothered, you're not disturbed by all these small things. And they don't hurt you, they don't bother you anymore. In the world, in the secular world, so if somebody says something about somebody else, besides that there could be a lawsuit, and it could be a whole, you know, it's libel, and it could be a million other things, and it could destroy your life. When the more Torah a person learns, the more he realizes that it's narishkeit. It doesn't make a difference what that person says. You become less interested in all these different things that are narishkeit, that are silly. And slowly, the more you're able to learn, a little bit more learning, another day, another week, more Torah, life becomes more lichtig. You see more what's important, what's not important. You begin to realize. On the left-hand column, four lines up from the middle over there, and this itself is a reason, is enough of a reason, is a strong reason that each and every one of us should try to set aside time every day for learning. And I mentioned at the end last week, this applies to women as well. Again, not at the expense of taking care of things that they need to take care of. And certainly we understand that a woman is not obligated to learn. Nevertheless, what the tzaddik is explaining is that it's not just a question of obligation or non-obligation. There are many, many women that over the years that we've spoken to, that I've spoken to, who when they were learning they felt themselves growing. When they were in seminary or they had a shiur that they would go to, as I spoke about at the end of last week, they felt themselves growing. They felt different. They had different priorities. They knew what was important and what wasn't important. And over the years they realize that their entire seder of what's important, what's not important has changed. And they've fallen into terrible kidness. And they don't have anymore that a certain kind of a she'ifa, a longing and a desire to grow that they had when they were younger. And that comes out in many, 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 many ways. In many ways. Certainly this is bechlal, it's a difficult thing in situations where you have, let's say you have a husband where there's a husband that's sitting and learning and spending many hours a day that's learning or learning at night. He's zeichet to be involved in that. And it's very hard if a woman, especially if she's a mother of small children, that the whole day is spent in kitness. The whole day is spent in discussing whether or not you get one wafer, you get three wafers, whether or not you who goes first, who goes second. You know, the whole day is kitness. And unfortunately, many, many women, if a woman doesn't have, especially a woman who is with little children, who the whole day is kitness. I'm not talking about, like I was at the end last week, you know, the professional shoppers. I'm talking about even a woman that's not her aspiration, you know, to visit every mall, you know, on the East Coast or even beyond. Let's say a woman that's more homebound. Afal pichein, it's so easy to fall into kitness, into smallness, into a way of thinking. My wife was just talking to one of our students, a big tzaddik, she was talking to her a long time yesterday, and she's a big tzaddik because she has five children. The oldest is
seven.
The oldest is seven. So they had twins recently, and she blames, of course, anything that's wrong, which is very little, Baruch Hashem, but anything that's wrong, she blames on herself. And she finds that she's becoming less patient with her husband and less patient with the children, and the children don't go to camp. They've been pretty much in the house since the end of June, all the kids. The oldest is seven, so they're mostly home anyway. And when you take a person like this who before she was married was a person that was thinking about things in a deep way, and had goals and aspirations and so on, and now she's spending the entire day just trying to break up fights and changing diapers and figuring out and then you have a husband who's a choshev yid and he's had some time to learn, and he comes home and he feels like discussing morals or something. He wants to talk about some choshev thing, and certainly when it comes to bichlal relating one to the other, when the woman's entire day is a day that was spent in kitness, in smallness. That's her greatness, that she's able to spend the entire day in smallness and remain great. But sometimes a woman becomes small because she's Isaac the whole day. She's a second bekitness. She's a second bekitness, and you begin to, you could find yourself. Sometimes you have something. There's a woman. Let's say I remember when I was a kid that she was a principal for like 60 years, and even when the parents came, she would say, "And how are you today?" She would talk to the parents the same way she spoke to the first graders. It happens that you slip into kitness, and it comes out in subtle ways. You're a bright person, an educated person. And then what happens in kitness, and when you're in that mode of kitness, then things that are important are not important, and not important, they're important. And you begin to measure life by whose simcha is and this and that. I don't have to go to kleinigkeit, but kleinigkeit. And you lose a sense of bigness that you had when you were younger, and it's a painful thing. That's why it's not a question so much of whether you're obligated or not obligated, it's a question of being nowadays, of just a person being a Jew, remaining a Jew, and that's what the tzaddik is saying. V'ha'er in b'sar secha means that when you learn Torah, Torah shows you what's important, what's not important. Torah makes you, when Torah is learned deeply, Torah makes you into a big person. And a big person can be Isaac in tiny little things all day long, it remains a big person. It doesn't drag you down, it doesn't change who you are. But if you're not learning it all, and again, I said, we're talking here obviously to the women who are learning and going to shiurim and so on, but there are many, many, many women, I don't want to say many more women, but probably if you add up from all the shiurim, and let's say it's not a shiurim, if someone could talk over the phone for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, to chaperein, or to look in a safe, I know everybody's tired, but to look for 5 minutes in a safe, or something, that a person should hold on, that there shouldn't go a day in the life of a Jewish woman that there isn't some Torah. There isn't some Torah, because Torah is mi'ira seinayim. It illuminates, it shines, and it prevents a person from falling into that kind of smallness. That's what he's saying. That's talking about yeshiva people. He says that a person shouldn't fall in kitness. That you shouldn't sink into kitness. We can look at the note peches. Turn it on the next page. Kuchav beis, the long note. We'll read it in Hebrew peches. Yeah, and kuchav beis. It's missing. Everybody's missing Kuchav Beis?
Oh no, it's Kuchav Beis.
Maybe.
Also
a little mixed up. Okay. We're only going to learn this note on the page. So look at footnote Peches on page Kuchav Beis. HaTorah HaKadosh Mi'ir Lanu Aseh Meshneid Mazeh Chayim. A person who learns Torah knows the truth and knows what's life. Mazeh Nitzchis, what's something which is permanent, what's eternal. Every single day when you wake up and it's a new day, we say in davening, we say Baruch Elokeinu, that Hashem created us l'chvayda, for His glory, for His honor, and He distinguished us, He made us different and separated us from those whose lives are off track, whose lives are filled with mistakes. When we say these words, when a person says these words, which are found in the Uvalet Zion, when a person says these words, it's a very good time to try to think and to ask Hashem, that the Baruch Hashem, you should separate us, that we shouldn't make a mistake with our lives, that our lives shouldn't be filled with mistakes. Hashem has given us the koach that we shouldn't become, God forbid, like a lamb that gets lost. That's what that tefillah is all about. That Hashem gave us Torah Emes. The Torah shows us what the Emes is. Sheneidas Emes Amitis Mi Anachnu. To know who we are, Bechlal. who we are. Is there anybody here that can honestly say, I'm not asking for a show of hands, that growing up and in the years of learning, that we really, really learned to understand who are we? What's a nefesh? What's a ruach? What's neshama? What's chaya and yechida? There's some that you might not have even heard of, chaya and yechida. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, everybody heard of. What's the difference between nefesh, ruach, and neshama? Who are we, bechlal? Who are we, bechlal? What is a Jew? What's a Jew? What's a Yid? So, in the morning, in the bracha that we make in the Torah, we say, Kuloni yodei shemecha, v'loim dei saros l'shma. Kuloni yodei shemecha, v'loim dei saros l'shma means that only a person who learns Torah can be counted among those who are yodei shemecha, who know Hashem's name. And knowing Hashem's name means that in each and every one of us, Hashem exists. And if you're not learning Torah, then it's impossible to be someone who is yodei shemecha. You don't know who you are. The Torah teaches you, mi anachnu. Mi anachnu? Eizach hashuvim v'yikar manachnu. Everybody now, everybody has problems now. This whole issue, you know, self-esteem with low self-esteem, self-esteem, and all the various low self-esteem and everything. It's emes. There's terrible, terrible problems with low self-esteem. A person that doesn't learn Torah and doesn't know what a yid is, doesn't know how precious he is. Doesn't know how precious he is. And mimela, v'yahav l'racha kamaycha, to love another Jew. To love another Jew means that you have to understand who you are. Kamarcham means to love another Jew as you love yourself. So you have to kind of understand bichlal who are you and what's a Jew. And if you don't understand what it means, and if you don't learn Torah, you don't know what a Yid is. You don't know what it means to love another Jew. You don't know what it means to love yourself. And certainly there are problems of low self-esteem. Shayanachnu loy guf, a person you could have a person who has one pimple on her forehead, or somebody who's 5 pounds overweight, and it's a ganze churban. Can't eat, but that's not true. Usually can eat, but person's mom is sick and has no self-esteem and is all tzabrachen from 5 pounds or from something that doesn't look so good or a wrinkle or when it comes to men they have their own mishagasim, and that could cause a ganze chorben for a person. How could that be? Because if a person sees, not that one shouldn't take care of oneself, of course a person should take care of himself or herself, but if a person's entire life, if a person isn't attached to learning Torah and doesn't know what it means to be a Yid, so then she identifies herself the same way that any guy does, by the body, by physical body, by how successful your career is. You have people. I'm successful if my career is successful. I'm successful if I have a lot of money. I'm successful if I'm beautiful. I'm successful if I, you know, if I'm the thinnest person on the block. That makes me successful. And that person's way of measuring life is by the goof. But that's not what the Torah tells us that we should. We don't see ourselves by our. Again, not that a person should. The Torah wants us to take care of ourselves. But a person should measure himself to see himself by these things. Could you imagine? Psychologists would be come out of business. Haguf hurak hamalbush alonu. The guf is a malbush. The guf, the body is a covering, is a garment. Avla hi'ika is a ha'neshama. Ha'neshama kadosh shalom. But a Jew, what's a Jew? A Jew is a neshama. That's who we are. It's a neshama. Zeh ha'emes amitis mi'anachnu. That's the truth of who we are. The neshama. And the Torah teaches us how to see this world. Umahu misham, and what is the world for? What's the purpose? That this whole world is just a means of getting to the truth. When a person learns Torah in a deep way, the person understands how important one day is of one's life, how valuable one day is. How much nachas ruach can you give to Hashem Yisbarach in one day? It's unbelievable. How much nachas? With one bracha. And every time you make a bracha. In one day there could be an ocean of nachas ruach for Hashem. A person doesn't learn, doesn't know halacha, doesn't know mitzvahs, doesn't understand the tachlis. And without that, so then the guf becomes most important. We say every single day Hashem is infused in each and every one of us eternal life. The Torah teaches us that each and every one of us can live a life in this world, an emistic life that's a life that's already a taste of Olam Haba. Not to live constrained by this world, in a Gashmis way. V'kitnuni, again, he's not against Gashmis, and that's not the whole mahalach here, is that a person shouldn't enjoy, you know, a good meal. That's not what he's talking about. But to fall into kitnus, that takes over your entire life. Memela, so he says, we have to daven. Abba, Abba, Abba. This is much better than the Yiddish. Okay, this is Abba Tat, we have to daven. Anim is chan in eilech. I'm calling out you, I'm begging you. Hu yiftach li beinu b'sarasa. Tiftach es aleib shali. The only way to open your heart is by learning Torah. The more Torah you learn, the more your heart opens. Hu yiftach li beinu b'sarasa means that through the koyach of Torah, my heart becomes opened. Then I understand and I begin to realize what it means to love Hashem and to respect Hashem, to do His will, to serve Him with a whole heart. Hashem, help me that my entire heart should be filled with one desire, which is to do Your will, to serve You. The kol ha'moach shali, my entire mind. The kol ha'lev shali. The kol ha'rotzen, my will. Hatshuka, my yearning. Shi'ifa, longings. V'slavus, and excitement. Hakol yemunach v'shakur lasis v'tzaynei ula'ovdo b'levim shalom. That I should serve. I should do Your will, and I should serve You with a complete heart. Abba, ani mischan lefanach. I'm calling out to You. L'mad lo nigal arig v'lo neled l'bahala. That it shouldn't be the God forbid after 120, we look back at our lives and we see that it was all, or a large part of our lives was what? Leniga Larik, was for Nairishkeit, was for nothing, was for emptiness. That all of our labor, all of our work was for what? Velo Neilad Bahala, that God forbid it meant that we were born for what? For nothing. Shliya Chas V'Shalom Matzav Shani Yishalach Kan, Eshalach, it should be Kan, Moilam V'Evaz V'Ezman Yokra Avush Tuyas. That I shouldn't walk through this short life that I have and waste most of my time on shtusim, on narishkeit. Ani mischan lefanecha shatar kadosh shani eskelumat hayayim. Therefore, in the morning, you should ask Hashem that the Torah that we're zeichet to learn this day, that we're able to learn this day, he tiftach liyas halev shali, that it should be able to, this Torah should open my heart. And that's why, when we say the brach in the morning, one of the brachas we make over the Torah, we spoke about this a little bit a few years ago, is V'harav na Hashem Elokeinu divrei se'oscha b'finu. V'harav na Hashem Elokeinu means that Hashem help us to taste how sweet the Torah is. Help us to taste, the harav is lashon of arevus, it's so delicious that we should taste the mesikus of Torah. And then when we say the bracha before Shema of Ahavas Olam Haftonu Hashem Elokeinu, when a person, this is what I was talking about a few weeks ago, and it's very hard to convey this in words. When a person tastes how sweet Torah is, then the other things lose their sweetness. Then they don't taste so good anymore. When a person really tastes how beautiful Torah is, then he doesn't want to look at the internet. And she doesn't want to spend every 3 minutes running to a store. He doesn't want to spend every 3 minutes watching a stupid ball game. When there's a mesikus to Torah, when you feel, that's what you should, we daven the harivna. The main tefillah for our children should be that the Torah should be sweet for our children. Because if the Torah is sweet, then all they want to do is learn, and then they're not attracted to the other things. We're always afraid that our children, God forbid, will be pulled to other things. All of us live in terror of this, that the children are going to be attracted to other things. And if a person is completely, totally, 100% in love and enamored with his wife, with her husband, so then Baruch Hashem, then the eyes don't stray, then the eyes don't look elsewhere. If a person is not attracted, if they're not attracted to each other, then chas v'shalom. And chas v'shalom, the eyes could stray, and the heart could be pulled elsewhere. It's the same thing when it comes to Torah, and that's why many times, especially in Mishlei, the Torah is described as a beautiful woman, and the Torah is described in such a way, and that's the pnimius of Eishes Chayil. Shabbos is described in such a way. It's the same thing with Shabbos. If Shabbos is something which is sweet, if Shabbos is beautiful, if Shabbos is attractive, then you become a Shabbos-digger person, then you become a different person, and you're not pulled in the wrong direction. if the Torah that our children is, if the Torah that our children is, the Torah is infinitely beautiful. Whether or not all of our children are being exposed to the beauty of Torah, that is, that's a painful question. And from one school to the other, from one yeshiva to the other, it's in varying degrees, right? They'll pick up on the beauty of Torah. Many of the children are not being shown the beauty of Torah. Many of them feel that it's totally irrelevant to me. I don't see the shaykhus. If you have a boy that's not, especially the boys that are spending hours and hours and hours a day learning Gemara, if it's a boy that doesn't feel any connection to that, it could be a terrible korban. The Torah is beautiful. But that's why Chazal say, La'ilam yilmat adam mokin shali b'chafetz, that a person should learn Torah that where his heart is drawn to that Torah. La'ilam yilmat adam mokin shali b'chafetz. You have some people, that you have some men that when their Torah, that they davka love learning Gemara. You have another man that loves learning Halacha. You have another one that loves Chumash Navi. You have another one that loves Machshava. Another one loves Musar. Some loves Kabbalah. Some loves Chassidus. This is an ahava, and the Baruch Shalom is telling each person. Of course, we have to try to learn all areas of Torah, but when you fall in love with something, the Baruch Shalom is telling you. Can you imagine if you went out on a shidduch? If you're already a little bit older, there's some girls here. So let's say one of our daughter goes out. We looked into the shidduch, gewaldig. Everything checks 100%, gewaldig. And they go out, and after a few weeks, you know, they've been talking, learning more about each other. So your daughter comes back and says, "You know, I'm completely, absolutely head over, totally in love." So would any of us in our right mind say, "Oh, that must be a sign that it's not for you. It couldn't be for you." No, that's absurd. That's absurd. That would be silly. That's the strongest sign. Of course it's a sign. We have to be careful that it shouldn't be chas v'shalom some sort of an infatuation that's not healthy. But I'm talking about what's with seichel, and working it out, and then the heart becomes taken. Certainly, people are married, and the hearts grow closer to each other. That's a strong siman that it's a good zivik, that it's a good shidduch. Not like some people would say that's not. It might not be healthy if you care too much for that person. That's crazy. Certainly, it's a good siman. And yet I've heard so many times that, you know, you'll have a certain boy that he davke, you know, he loves learning Medrash. He loves learning some other area of Torah, and he's discouraged. I'm not saying that obviously everybody has to keep up with what's in the yeshiva to try to do his best in the yeshiva, but in many, many circles, it's discouraged as being a sign that you know, he's not holding where he should be holding, and so on. It's a frightening thing because there's a shidduch that Hashem is making between that child and a certain aspect of learning Torah, and if that boy feels love for that part of Torah, to discourage him from exploring and to working that through, so then very often the boy feels that he's only learning a part of Torah that he can't relate to, and Hashem is telling him this, that if you give that boy an opportunity to grow in that area of Torah that he loves, that he feels enamored by, it'll open his heart to all areas of Torah, because all Torah is connected, everything's connected in Torah. So if a person's heart becomes inflamed with a love for a certain section of Torah, it'll open it up to other sections of Torah. But instead, what very often happens is that that the boy could be told that no, you'll never be a true Talmud Chacham like that. No true Talmud Chacham, meaning what the Rebbe is saying is like me, no true Talmud Chacham ever learns those things or is interested in those things. And say, why? This is also by from Tzaddikim. These are Svarim. These are very holy things. And I'm not talking about obviously something that could be dangerous at that age, but something which is whatever, Tanakh, Chumash, Chais. So then the child is being discouraged from finding his heart, and he doesn't taste the sweetness of Torah, and the Torah, God forbid, could become bitter. And there are many people that for a long time, I one of the things that we have to work very hard in shul all the time, you know, you have grown men that are 40, 50 years old, and to this day when you say open your Gemara, you know, open up, it's time to open the Gemara, you could feel it in the room, like, oh, like, open the Gemara, oh. For Hashem, so now there are translations, and the ones that didn't understand the Aramaic, they're beginning to, you know, they're feeling more of a connection, and thank God the Daf Yomi is a gewaldige thing. Why? You had so many people that when they were learning in yeshiva, they couldn't follow. They were learning in an entire year, 10 blot of Gemara, and they were getting lost in oceans of things that. But now the Daf Yomi person feels an accomplishment that they're able to go and they're able to cover ground and feel good and to see that they're acquiring knowledge in Torah. they're acquiring a broadness of understanding, and they feel the sweetness of Torah, because the Torah is so exquisitely beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And once a child tastes of that, then they're not interested in the other things. They're not interested. We don't have to worry. We don't have to worry every single minute. Oh, what are they watching? Where are they going? Who are they speaking to? What do they want? We don't have to worry. But if the Torah is not going to be sweet, if the Torah is not going to be beautiful, it's talking a crazy world. And there are a lot of things that are competing with Torah nowadays that our fathers and grandfathers that those things were not competing. The competition for Torah is if a person, like I mentioned many times here last year, last summer in the beginning we were talking about it, that Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, spoke about this very often, that he said we're living now in a time. He was speaking at the beginning of the 20th century. We're living at a time where there are Jews who, for the first time, are studying secular subjects. And we have to make sure, of Kook said, if we're not going to make the Torah as sweeter and more beautiful, making it means just, if we're not going to learn with them Torah in a deep, intelligent way, then we're going to lose. They're going to leave the yeshiva. They're going to want other things. Because a person opens up, let's say you have a boy that's more sensitive. You have a boy that's sensitive, there is such a thing. So there's a boy who's sensitive, and the Rebbe tells him all day long, put your finger. Rashi tells you he's not following. He doesn't follow. And then it comes to 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and there's a teacher who reads with him a poem from Browning, or something that's beautiful and moving. So what do you think is happening inside that child? So we'll say, we'll beg the yeshiva. So learn with them poems from Yehuda Levi. We have poems. Learn with them. Shira Shirim, something. We have beautiful things, Baruch Hashem. Learn with them what the siddur means. Just explain what the siddur is. No, we never did that. We haven't been doing that for 1,000 years. We're not going to do it now. But the kid wasn't listening to Browning 1,000 years ago. And he wasn't sneaking out somewhere to watch some television show about feelings and romance and love and whatever else it might be, and he's reading about the human condition, and we're not giving him the Torah's view of the human condition. He's not getting that in the Gemara. He will when he's older, and when you learn it, when you're able to learn it at a certain depth. But he's not getting that dimension. The girls are getting more of that because they don't have the pressure to learn as much halach and gemara. Of course, they're not learning gemara, but they have, so there's more of an opportunity to grow in that way. But for the boys, if a boy is seeing all these, if a sensitive boy sees these beautiful, charming, exciting things in the afternoon, but the morning is a drag, and the morning is boring, so what's happening inside that child? So that's we have to daven every single day. V'harav no'asham lo'keinu, the Torah should be sweet. The Torah has to be sweet, and we should taste the sweetness of Torah. This is the inyan of when it comes to that first gift, which is the study of Torah. Turn to page Kuf Chav Dalet, and he talks about the second gift that Hashem gave us to have a different way of looking at life and each day. So on page Kuf Chav Dalet, see, here he talks about the gift of tefillah, the gift of davening. This, of course, would require an entire long, long discussion in the meaning of tefillah. When many years ago, I gave just hakdama to tefillah. I gave 30 shiurim in the shul just to open the siddur. Bechlal tefillah, like the Gemara says, dvarim ha'emdim v'mishal olam, is the highest thing in the world, but most people neglect it. So let's read a little bit. Let's learn a little bit about the second gift. The second amazing gift that Hashem has given us to help us look at life in the right way, it's Hamatana Shel Tefillah, Davening. Messiah Gam Kein Harbe. We should look at Davening like a gift, not just as a responsibility. Davening is a gift. It helps us to lift ourselves up and to live with the truth. V'nizka k'seidah shanachnu shlichim, to remember that we're shlichim, that we're messengers. V'kol chelke ha'tfilah m'sayim l'zeh. And every part of davening helps. Every single separate part of davening helps. She goes, Dibana b'zayim come from Barichas Mechazal, the Tzadikim, Shabofen, Kloli, Nechla, Kol Avadis HaTfila. We see that davening is divided into different parts, Pesukim Dezimmer, Baruchas Kriyashman, Shemin Esrei, Shalosh HaChalokim, Chelik Shal Shius Tishbachas, and after Shemin Esrei, there are different things, praising Hashem, Vachelik Shal Bakosh of Hesachim, and requesting you make and so on, Vachelik Shal Vinish Shal Shemayim, Vedovin HaMelech HaBashon, Mishar HaTzadikim, Shechibur Abiz Merim, Medabim Aleinu. He spoke about it. That the more we concentrate, the more we understand davening, the more we pour our hearts into davening, we realize what's those things that are permanent and those things that are temporary. As I just said, that davening is that which is at the highest point of creation. It means that through tefillah a person can reach that a higher way of looking at life. That's what it means. To go higher than all the low things. Each person his own inyanim. That's what we just said in the parasha this last Shabbos. Who is a great people, the Jewish people, that Hashem is so close. That's what it means. That pasuk is talking about davening. It's talking about davening. It means me goy godel. What makes a Jew a great person, Adam godel, is that it says ashalolakim kareinu lebechal kareinu elav. It means when we call out to Hashem. And who said that? Moshe Rabbeinu. And when did Moshe Rabbeinu say that? After davening, how many tefillas to get to Eretz Yisrael? Tov kuf tesvav. 515 tefillas. Moshe Rabbeinu poured out his heart, right? Veschanim. He poured out his heart that he should be able to get to Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem Yisbarach said no. And the parasha is called Veschan. And that means that the whole parasha is teaching us about davening. Because Veschan means I davened. If you want to point to one person in history who seemed to have the least success with davening, it would be Moshe Rabbeinu. And the parasha is called Veschan. And right after, the Baruch Shalom says, I'll tell you something, Rabbi, that's enough. Don't daven anymore. Right after that, what is Moshe Rabbeinu's first thing he says? Ah, mi goy godel, ashalolei kin kareinu elav. What a gewaltige nation. I'm so proud to be a Jew. Hashem is so close to me. B'chol kareinu elav, whenever I daven to him. Could you imagine? How you and I have felt after that day, at the end of that day? 515 tefillahs. And sof kol sof, he wasn't as good as any Jew. Every Jew went into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu had to stay in Chutz La'aretz and be buried in Chutz La'aretz. And all he davened for is they should come to Eretz Yisrael. And the Baruch Shalom didn't answer that tefillah in a way that was giving him reshus. And after all of that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Mi goy godel, you know what makes a person great? Mi goy godel, Hashem elokim kareinu elav, kashem elokim b'chol kareinu elav. Whenever we daven, that's what makes us great." So you see that it's not only that your tefillah is answered in the way that you want that makes you great. It's tefillah itself that makes a person great. It means that a person lives in a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He lives in on a different level. That's what he explains. Well, that's through davening one comes to godless. That's what it means. From the ala kitnus of shiflus, to be lifted up from all the smallness. Well, it's karvel avinu shebishamayim, and to get closer to Hashem. That's why David HaMelech refers to davening as an outpouring of the soul. Shvichas HaNefesh. There's an amazing, amazing, tiny little cipher from the teachings of Rabbi Nachman Breslov called Ishtapchus HaNefesh. That's been translated into English, it's called Outpouring of the Soul. If you want to taste the sweetness of davening, it's a different davening. Ishtapchus HaNefesh, Rabbi Nachman's whole Indian was tefillah. The outpouring of the soul, shtabchus nefesh, what it means to daven and to begin to and to learn how to talk to Hashem Yisbarach, not only with the official davening, but even beyond that. And David HaMelech used to say, "Ve'eshpech es nafshi." What does it mean to pour one's soul out? So Sfasem explains what. Shenichlo b'zesh ha'nefesh ha'neshama hu soga begolus. The problem is that in most of us, especially now that we're living through such a dark time, the nefesh, we don't really meet up too often with our nefesh. The nefesh is usually locked up, closed in someplace. It's closed in. It's locked up. We don't necessarily meet up with ourselves. Very often people who haven't met their nefesh. So in the course of a relationship, it might draw it out more. A person goes to a good therapist. The therapist can help a person talk about what's inside, to talk about things that are part of his nefesh. But mostly, the nefesh, he says, is soga b'golos. It's shut up and closed in golos. It's not, we don't really meet up with our deeper selves. Rare occasions, you know, you stand under a chuppah or this. Even then, you see the yetzar comes and makes a person too busy to think. And b'chlal, you know, those times in life, God forbid, a person sitting shiva. So there's a little bit hisgalus and nefesh. We see a child sometimes, a ni'ilah, a shalashuda, say hisgalus and nefesh. A certain song that catches you is hisgalus and nefesh. All the writings of the holy piyazetz, the eshkaydish, chavislamidim, saivazivus, all of his swarma, how to do things, exercises to draw out the nefesh. You don't have to wait till it happens. There are things that could be done to bring out the nefesh. The most powerful thing is davening. That's why it's called, that's why David Melch used to say, Eshpoich es nafshi, vayideh tefila gist zecharois the nefesh. What does it mean, Eshpoich? I spill out my soul. I spill it out. A person who's really davening spills out the soul. He spills out the soul. And that's what it means. And the yidvet nafshidig and neshamadig, he becomes more nafshidig, more neshamadig, more nafshidig, more nefeshdig, more neshamadig. He becomes a person that lives that way. But again, we never really learned how to daven, and it's not just a class knowing what the words mean. But chalal, what does it mean to talk to Hashem's Baruch, to talk and to feel that closeness? I mentioned before, Menachem Breslov, there was a Breslov, a chassid, a big tzaddik that lived in Williamsburg. Hirsch Vasilsky, his name was. It's a big tzaddik. And he was like the Rosh of the Chabur. You know, Breslov, there's no Rebbe. So he was like the Rosh, in New York. There's no official. He was the unofficial head of the Chabur, of the Chassidim in Williamsburg. He's already not here for quite a few years. So I once saw in a sefer that he was standing by davening. He was standing by davening, I think it was Rosh Hashanah, I don't remember. He was standing by Rosh Hashanah, and he wanted to daven, he was trying to concentrate, and he couldn't, you know, a real yid like this, you know, he didn't feel that he could daven, he didn't feel that he was understanding, he just didn't feel that it was happening. And what happened was, he said that his little son, his boy, came over and started pulling at his coat. Or maybe his grandson started pulling, or his son was pulling at his coat. And he was saying, Tati, Tati. And he says, no, like, you know, I'm trying to talk to him. Tati, Tati, Tati. He said, then I began to listen to the boy. And he was saying, Tati. Then I began also to say, Tati, Tati. And I began to pull at the Baruch Shalom's coat. And then I was crying much more. And he says, by the time I was finished, he said, the bottom of my shoes were wet from my own tears. That's, I saw in the sefer such a thing. What does it mean to daven b'chlal? The way that a child entreats, you have to speak in such a way. And sometimes you hear a yid like this that davens this way. And with sachanunim, with begging, with pleading, and with talking. And it's a different kind of tefillah. But then it's eshpech es nafshi. Eshpech es nafshi. His kanab es eshem shol kampom mihanayim megodim v'eshte belzerov at v'shleim v'oid. Look in Kuf Gimel. Look what a special thing. You can think about this moment till 120. That these tzaddikim say, the Noyim Begodim, and the Belzerov, Tvashleimah say what? Look at Kuf Gimel, it's on the next, it's on Kuf Chaf Hei, I'm sorry for the inking. It's on Kuf Chaf Hei. Look at the first footnote on Kuf Chaf Hei. Shekasha Yehudi Megiel Beis HaMedrash. When a Jew walks into shul, if you're not in shul, it means when you walk into your siddur, right? But when you walk into shul, Nechneses HaNeshama HaKadosh Shal Dovid HaMelech B'yachad Itay. That the Neshama of Dovid HaMelech walks with you when you walk into shul. That when you go to daven, and even if it's at this place in your house, and by the way, if it's possible, you should try to, if you daven in the house, most women are davening during the day, they daven in the house, you should try to have one place in the house where you always daven. You should try to have one little vinkel, one little corner, one dalet amos. It's not always possible. Sometimes you have to just hop. But if you're able to have a place in the house that you always daven in that place, so that tzaddikim say that it has a certain quality of a shul, a little bit of a shul. It's a little bit of a shul. When you have a place that's kavua, that you should daven in that place, to try to daven in that place. So when you come into your little place where you daven, so the tzaddikim taught that the neshama of daven mamish walks with you, comes with you. Hashem's Baruch Meir Banu Al Yoda, and Hashem's Baruch is shining into our souls, into our hearts, with that light of David HaMelech. But David HaMelech is telling each and every one of us, that's why we speak together, we daven together with David HaMelech. David HaMelech is with us. David HaMelech is mamish with us when we daven. And so when David HaMelech would speak to us, he would say, Dishu Hashem. He was talking to all of us, Dishu Hashem, seek out Hashem together with me. Bakshu Pon of Tomid, seek Hashem's face always. In Iskal of Vakish, Lechapis Tomid. The Chold of Arak is Hashem is Baruch. And this helps a person to remember. Veluska Sharak Zeha Iker. To remember that this is the Iker. Bakshu Ponai Tomid. Seek me in everything that you're doing in life. Look for me, seek me. But if a person doesn't pour his heart out, if a person doesn't think about what he's saying, he doesn't try to be together with David HaMelech, to be together with David HaMelech when he's davening, so it's very hard to feel that. And your neshama, as it says in the Svarim, is together with all the tzaddikim of the generation. Your neshama connects to all the tzaddikim of that generation when they're davening, and to all Jews. To all Jews, your neshama is connecting to all Jews in that generation who are davening. The top of Kuf Chaf Hei, on top, on the first line. K'moshe Avinu Shebashamayim Mevakesh Meitanu, L'cho Amar Libi, Bakshu Ponai. It's an amazing pasuk. L'cho Amar Libi. L'cho amar libi, to you my heart says, Bakshu ponai, seek my face. That means Hashem is speaking to me and you from within our hearts. Look at the Hebrew. That's what Rashi says. L'cho amar libi, to you my heart says, Bakshu ponai. You hear Hashem speaking from within yourself. Seek me, look for me. Bakshu ponai. Vanachnu tzayekim, and we answer back to that little Hashem inside of us is saying Bakshu Panai, Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. That's what Rashi says. That's how Rashi explains the pasuk. Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. I'll try. You say Hashem, I'll try. In other words, there's something inside of you that's calling out. Hashem is saying L'cha Amar Libi, L'cha Amar Libi. That my heart is telling me. That's Hashem. Rashi says, Tumen Hashem inside is saying Bakshu Panai, seek me. And we tell Hashem, Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. We'll try. We'll try to seek you. I'll pass the panech, make it easier for me. Don't, Hashem, don't hide your face from me. Don't hide. It's very hard. And that's in footnote Kuf Dalet. Anachnu, yeah, Dan Kuf Dalet. Anachnu loy roitzim shum dov. We don't want anything. Anachnu tzrichim shum dov. Arakis panech Hashem avakesh. That's what David HaMelech is teaching us how to daven. Es panecha Hashem avakesh. Rakis, what? Es habracheinu avinu kulanu kiechad bor panecha. V'dover hamelech aldosham meir besoch nishmaseinu ba'omro bakshu panav tamid. The David HaMelech is causing us, is helping us to feel this. Tivakshu utechapsu tamid rakit zeh. This is what you should be looking for in life. This is the most important thing in life. Tisku shekol hadvarim sheyeshna ba'olam chutz mizeh. Remember that all the things in life outside of this, hakol zeh shum dar, it's all nothing. Hariu Hashem kol haaretz. Tishbu, Hariu means, literally means that the whole world calls out to Hashem, cries out. But Hariu also means a lashon of breaking. Tishbu is kol haaretz, it means to shatter, to break all the physical things that are concealing, all those things that are misleading us and causing us to forget what's important. As kol hachitzayin is. And that's how we begin. He continues the whole davening. He explains the whole davening is like this, and when a person davens in this way, that's why we say in the La'olam Hayodam. Again, a lot of the women don't have time to say the La'olam Hayodam. So we say Kahakol Hevel. Everything besides being a Jew, it's Hakol Hevel. And look at footnote Kuf Zayin. Masha Toyfes Etzli Mokum Have a Nivdok V'Nistakel B'Socheinu. Those things that when we're not davening, those things that take up a place in our minds and our hearts. Let's check. You know, Rav Sham Shachal Hirsch said that tefillah, he always said, the tefillah is a lashon of palol, of pelilim, which means to judge. During davening, a person judges oneself. A person sees what's, you realize what is it that's important to you. What is it that we think about? What's important in our brains? What takes up our thoughts? Belev shlo, our heart. The zman shlo. How do we spend our time? Maybe in our minds and our hearts, and the time that we spend is dvarim shel mabakach narish kai havolim velapratim ha'elu shenimtzas sham nachzur nishanin heitev shal zeh kavan hakol hevel. So in the Krishma that we say in the morning, that lo yilam yehi'adam, which says hakol hevel, so all these things in this hakol hevel, like we spoke about last week, after some years go by, miyizkos kol ha'dvarim ha'elu, who's going to remember these things? That right now are so important. Who's going to remember them? Who's going to think of them? Bechlal? These things that right now are so important. Those things that now, today, we consider to be so urgent. This is so important. Years from now, who's going to even care? What difference is it going to make? If you think about it, what difference is it going to make? How many things are hanging in the closet, unless you get rid of them right away? How many things are hanging in the closet that Bishas Maisa, you thought that this was it? This was it. And you had to make a whole, you had to change your whole day to be able to get to that place, to get that outfit, and now it's sitting someplace in a hanger, and you can't figure out, what am I going to do with this? It takes up space. And it's all hevel. It's hakel hevel. All those things that we think are so important and so urgent. This spoon, this dish, this light, this, and whatever it is, hakel hevel. And again, not to say that it shouldn't be, that a person shouldn't have nice and to enjoy, and bechlal not. Bechlal, that's not what I'm saying, I'm bechlal not. Bechlal not, that's fine. That's fine. But, and I certainly would never, ever be caught renouncing, you know, my Hungarian upbringing. But a person has to know. That's a person still knows that it's an Irishkeit. You know something? You can have nice things, but you know that it's an Irishkeit. That's also madrega. That's also madrega. My parents have Baruch Hashem nice things, but they don't take them seriously. My father doesn't know that he has them, but my mother doesn't take it so seriously. It's not serious. It's nice, but it's heaven. It's an Irishkeit. But when you look at your life and you see that your life is like getting caught up in havolim. And that's what I was saying before, especially a woman who the whole day is in kidness and smallness, very often with the children and different things and kleinikai, or whether or not it's one spoonful of this or another thing of sugar or less oil, chreis. If a woman has to struggle with these inyanim, when there's a family to raise, it's so hard to stay tall. To remain a big person, it could pull you mamish. It could pull you into a small place, and then you begin to get small and to worry about kleinikait and Irishkeit, and things how this looks and this looks mad and chalila can be, and for men, depending upon what kind of work a person does, a man could be in a certain kind of a business where also the whole thing is all, you know, it's all kleinikait, under mentions gelt, and under mentions inyonim and zachen, and you become caught up in small things, and you lose the bigger picture, and you become eventually a small person. You spend enough time doing that, you become small. That's what happens to a person. And that's what he's explaining. That's why, look at the paragraph on Kuf Chaf Hei, which is Omer Mechal Yom, on the left side of Kuf Chaf Hei. That's why every single day, and it's such a big part of our religion, Yitzias Mitzrayim. So does everybody feel like already saying, okay, we left, Shkoyach. You know, we're grateful and we appreciate it. Can we get on with, you know, let's talk about other stuff. Everything, huh? Yeah, right. Okay, let's finish that parish and move on to Mashiach, right? No, Yitzias Mitzrayim, what's such a big thing, Yitzias Mitzrayim? Everything. And we're going to learn next week about Kriya Shema, and about a little bit, so we'll talk about Kriya Shema and Mezuzah, so just a little bit, and then it's what's the big thing, everything, Zeichet, everything, even Rosh Hashanah Zeichet, what's the thing, Zeichet, and Kriya Shema, the whole business. This is why, because everybody knows this, Mitzrayim, Kol HaMitzrayim, you've heard this I'm sure many, many times, that Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim, which means Egypt, is the word meitzarim, which means constraints. It means smallness. It means being in a narrow place. That's what the word means. Ameitzakarazika. Ameitzar means a narrow, small place. Meitzarim means to be stuck in a small place. So we understand Mitzrayim kol hamitzrayim sha'ayv al kolach, and everybody, every day of our lives, we get caught in these mitzrayim. And Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim is a way out. It's a way out. Kedum Chazal, ubechol yom yesh ha'orach hadosh shi'in Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim. Every single day, when we read the parashis of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim and we do the mitzvahs and we remember Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim, it means what? As mekena rois gain from noch mitzrayim, noch mitzrayim. It means I can get out of this mitzvah. I can get out of this little thing that controls my life, or that I'm stuck in, or this way of thinking. We told this tzaddikus that my wife was talking to yesterday. So she has a pacha. Her mother-in-law comes unannounced to I was going to say to visit, but it's more like to check how things are doing, right? She comes unannounced, and this sweet tzaddikus lives in a pacha. And my wife's trying to explain to her, don't worry about what she thinks so much. But it's very hard, right? It's very hard. Because a woman often measures her hatzlocha or not being a mutzlachas if the house is not so clean. She has five kids that are to the age of seven. So what's she going to do? So it's not going to be, her mother doesn't have a house like that. So it's not going to be as clean. There won't be any rats or rodents or things. It doesn't have to be that every single toy is put away, or every single pillow is fluffed, and every single blanket is just so tucked in. But the pacha, the fear of what she's going to think of me. And then there's a sister-in-law. And to be compared to the sister-in-law, it's a whole sugya of what does this person think of me. And that could take away all your simchas achayim, that your whole life could chalila become bitter. You live with the bitterness, and then the things that are important, that the children should be happy, should have a good time, or whether or not the child stays up an extra 15 minutes or not like this or like that, and everything becomes a milchama. Only that you should be able to keep up with how this one thinks of me, or that one looks at me, or what I'm supposed to be, or they were kaveya, that this is how a successful woman is supposed to be, because you know there's this one woman, you know, that she's like this, or that you believed at some point in your life that there is such a thing as like Martha Stewart, which is a very oiske spiel, but she's going to jail soon. So the whole thing is an unbelievable game, and it's all a question of mitzarim. Every day the pashas Yitzhiyas, and a person believes in Yitzhiyas, and we're going to learn it next week with Kriyashma, and when you touch the mezuzah, you look at the mezuzah, a mezuzah is reminding you when you walk into your house, don't get stuck in the Mitzrayim. When you leave the house, don't get stuck in Mitzrayim. Don't get stuck in the Mitzrayim smallness, what this one says, what this one does, what this one thinks, or this to get caught up in narishkeit. The mezuzah is a constant reminder of Yitzhiyas Mitzrayim, not to get stuck in the small thing in a small place. That's what it means. I rise again from Noch Mitzrayim. And that's what it means. When eins von the Ik Mitzrayim is was what? Refanemt sich mit Kittness. That a person becomes preoccupied with smallness. And that's why it says, and in a few minutes, that's why it says, Vayar Yisrael es Mitzrayim esel svasa yom. So why do we have to say Kriyash Yamsuf every day? Kriyash Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. What's the big thing? So we left Mitzrayim. What's the big thing with the water, the ocean? Kriyas Yamsuf says like this: Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim Meisel Svasayam. They saw the Egyptians drop dead at the shore. That's what it says in the pasuk. Vayar Yisrael Mitzrayim Meisel Svasayam. They saw the Egyptians die on Svasayam. Yisim Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim teach an amazing thing about that pasuk. We say every day, and this is found from Vision Rebbe and other. The Reitzilish from Rebbe Rabbanu Pshischa and other Tzaddikim say this. What? Sharo Oz. When they saw them as the ala mitzarim, the ala taivis and midas, all the taivis of Egypt, all the smallness that Egypt means to each and every one of us in our lives, says alas is taitazach, it's all dead. That's what it means. Vayayisol mesel svasayom, it's Mitzrayim mesel svasayom. We saw the mitzarim. If, like we spoke about a little bit last week, you could be handling, you could have on your coffee table in the house a stack of catalogs. You can't even see people. They're stacked so high, and you're involved in all these parishes. And then chas v'chalila, someone tells you that your best friend is sick, or that God forbid a child is not well. And then you look at me and say, "How is this toit given?" Right? It becomes all dead. It becomes dead. All the catalogs, which 5 minutes before you heard the news. It was like, it was a big Indian. All of a sudden, you look at the shore, and you see Egypt. The Egyptians are all lying there dead. What does that mean? It means Vaya Yisrael es Mitzrayim Mesel Svas Hayam. Kriyas Yamsuf tells us that a Jew has the ability, through that hashpah of Kriyas Yamsuf, to take a second look at those things in life that he thought are so important and take up so much of his heart and his mind, and he sees that the toit mamish toit, mamish dead, on chiyas, without any chshivas. The same way when you find out something that's important, something very, very important has happened, something very, very, you hear news from Eretz Yisrael, and all of a sudden, a Jew could be looking at some picture and a television, and if there's a report that from Eretz Yisrael, God forbid, something happened, then all of the thing that he was watching on the television, what he was thinking about, was it all dies. It becomes not, because that's what it really is. When we saw the Egyptians lying there dead on the shore, it's because that's what it means. That's why that was the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Rebbe Bunim explains why it was at the end of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because really, there's no Egyptian in the world that can hold a Jew back. There's no Egyptian. There's no American. There's nobody in the world that can hold a Jew back. The only thing is when you take the Egyptian seriously. If you take the Egyptian seriously, then he can hold you back from being who you need. But if you see the Egyptian for who he really is, which is something which is dead, then it can't hold you back. It can't hold you back. Then it won't hold you in. Then it won't keep you from who you're supposed to be. That's why we daven every day, Kriyas Shema, and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what it means. It says, Alles is tight as Zach. You see, all is tight as Zach Narishkeit. It says what? It says garnished. Page Kuf Chavav. We'll just finish this paragraph, not 3 minutes. It's all nothing. It's garnished. V'zeh ha'yishu ha'gdoila. That means v'yoisha. V'yoisha Hashem is Yisrael. V'yoisha, what's it say? V'yoyim ahu. What's the Yeshua? The Yeshua is when you don't have to put every single toy away because your mother-in-law might come. That's the Yeshua. The Yeshua is not having every toy away. That's part of your Mitzrayim. Not that there's anything, there's no avayra to have, but that's not your Yeshua. The Yeshua is the day that you could have a couple toys lying around and your mother-in-law walks in and you don't feel less of a person. That's the Yeshua. That's the Yeshua. Because then you see this is garnished. Garnished. Narishkeit. What's the difference? Who cares? What difference is it going to make a 10 minutes from now, a year from now, 20 years from now, whether or not I had 7 toys on my floor and the other day I had 2? What's an African minute? Who cares? What's important is how the children feel and what's happening and so on and so forth and who you are. But what difference does it make? That's the Yeshua. That's why it says, Vayosha Hashem is Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim, Vayayim Ahu Miyad Mitzrayim, Vayosha, but the Yeshua was, Vayayim Yisrael is Yisrael, Mesos Vasayam. When you could see those things that are the Mitzrayim and you see them for being what they really are, which is dead, which is silly, that's the Yeshua. That's your Yeshua. Then you're free. Vayosha Hashem Biyayim Ahu Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. That's what it means. Then you're free from Mitzrayim. It's the saddest thing in Eretz Yisrael. You know how the secular Jews call themselves? They should all be healthy and well. They're called not chilonim. That's also an interesting word, chafshiim, chafshi, liot am chafshi. The one who wrote that song was a shikr, a machal Shabbos and oichel neversal treivus. What do you think he meant, liot am chafshi? He didn't mean to be free to go to the kaisel meravi, by the way. Liot am chafshi. They call a secular Jew in Eretz Yisrael called. They call themselves chafshiim. I'm free. Ashibut amitzrayim, unbelievable. That's what it means to be free, chavshi. So that's not a Yeshua. When your whole life, you can't make one decision because every single thing, there's shibudim coming from every single part of your life and part of your body, you meshubit. You meshubit to what it says over here, what they say over there, and that tells shibudim. That's not a Yeshua. That's not a Yeshua. Look in the Hebrew Kuf Tazayin. Well, it all goes together. Well, there are a couple. Let's just go through the Hebrew starting from Kuf Yud Aleph. So Rosh Kol Mitzvah Mitzarim Kol Tavis Kuf Yud Aleph Kol Tavis Kol Amidus Zeh Kol Dvar Meisim Zeh Kol Shum Dvar Is Nothing Zeh Yeshua Gedai Liyaser Kasher Shivus Baruch Mei Besachin Shekol Hadvarim Haylu Nachshavim Kamei Dvar Meis Zeh Kol Shum Dvar. So you feel such a happiness, Matzim Kippur. The Simcha Yom Kippur is because once again you see you have your head down straight and you know what's important. It doesn't last too long, but at least you know what's important. And you could be the next day, you could be 10 minutes later in the kidneys. It's the craziest thing. You know, you find yourself standing the next day shopping for Sukkot decorations, spending like $1,000 on Christmas lights or something. And you're back in the kidneys. And who has the nicest? It could be for a mitzvah. That's really a nice thing. It's like the craziest thing we're in. We're mamish nagolos like this. That's called life. In Simchat Suma, which we're going to talk a lot about, that gives a person the greatest simcha when you're free from the Mitzrayim. It doesn't hold you back. My mother-in-law, I don't mean to say the mother-in-law is a power of Mitzrayim, but in just the muscle we're using, that what? My mother-in-law is not, she doesn't frighten me anymore. It doesn't make a difference. I'm freed from that. A person can sometimes be with a certain group of friends, and there's this one friend that makes, there's a chaver that makes, you know, that says things that hurts you and puts you down, and you go home and you think about it, and it makes your life miserable. You know what? Is there any bigger simcha when you're free of that? Not that God forbid anything should happen to that person, but you don't care. You just say, no, I don't care. No, it makes no difference to me what you think. Who are you? I don't care. It's the biggest simcha in the world. You don't care. Doesn't make a difference. That's what it means, Rosa Shikhlayam. That every maidservant by the ocean was able to see prophecy like Yechezkel. To see. That's what it means. Even the littlest, the smallest little Jew saw the truth. And Mimela, you're able to have simcha in life. And the eyes are open. That means we walk through the ocean. This world is like a raging, crazy storm. And a person who lives with this, with Kriyas Shema, Kriyas Yamsev, and Sias Mitzrayim, he's able to go through these things. When we sing Oz Yashir, which is a very, very important thing if you have time to say every day, even later in the day, if you couldn't say in the morning, to try to say Shir Sayyam. Shir Sayyam brings all kinds of Yeshuas, Panos, and Shaduchim, Zavukim, Allah Gita Zachim, to try to say Shir Sayyam. Ayadeh HaShira HaKadosh She'efshar Liskais Lahagbiyas Atzmeinu Lagamrei. With the Shira, one can lift oneself up. V'kach Efshar Liskais Lehomei B'tila Shemoneh Esrei L'Hashem Gal Yisrael. And then you come to Shemoneh Esrei, you have to say Gal Yisrael. Hashem, because Kriyas Yamsev was the completion of the Gula, then you can come to Shemoneh Esrei. And then when you're asking for things, you're not asking for things in a small way. You're asking because of what's important. You know what's important. That's the Gula, when you redeem from all external things. And you lift it up, mamish, above, all of these things. And that's the whole Inyan. We'll just finish now. That's the whole Inyan. We're not going to read it. We don't have time to read it inside. But that's the whole Inyan of Kriya Shema. Shema Yisrael. When you say Shema Yisrael every day, Shema Yisrael means that Hashem is Baruch is saying to each and every one of us, listen. Shema Yisrael, just a simple kavanah a person can have. Listen, you're a Jew, Shema Yisrael. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad means that there's nothing else in the world that has tachlis, just Hashem Echad. Shema, listen. Listen, Hashem says, I'm telling you. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that Hashem is one. That means that there is nothing else that's important. And that's the tachlis of one's entire life. And a person with that is able to leave all the Meitzarim. And therefore, the Rebbeinu Shlom is davening kivyachol to each and every one of us. Hashem says, I want you to learn Torah. I want you to think of these words that you're saying, to think of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and not forget the tachlis of your life, and not to get stuck in all the narishkeit. And through Kriyishma, that's why Kriyishma is 248 words. That through the 248 words, a person lifts one's eyes up, and one's ears, and one's nose, and one's mouth, to say the right things, and look at the right things, and to remember, what should I be looking at, what should I be thinking about, 248 limbs, Hashem Echad is the tachlis, and to take that throughout the entire day. And that's why before Yaakov Avinu died, his sons, the Shvatim, gathered around his bed, and they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Akinu, Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, listen, Yaakov Avinu, Father Yisrael, Hashem Akinu Hashem Echad. And Rashi says that means what? That Kishem Shein Delibcha Elacha Kach Ein Delibenu Elacha. Yaakov was worried. What's going to be with my grandchildren and great grandchildren in America? They're going to forget Hashem Echad. So the children gathered around Yaakov Avinu's bed and they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. Shema Yisrael, meaning Yisrael, meaning Yaakov. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Kishem Shein Delibcha Elacha. The same way they said to their father, the same way that in your heart, the only thing that's important is Hashem Echad, Kach Bileibeinu, so too in our hearts, that we should give this over to the children, to the grandchildren, that what in each and every single Jew, that every single Jew should know throughout the entire day, Hashem Echad, that's the tachlis, Shema Yisrael, and to hear that in your head the whole day, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Next week, we're going to continue. I think we'll have two more shiurim, so I hope that works out. Yeah, so we'll have two more. So we'll continue a little bit, just for a few minutes with the Inyan of Tefillah, and then we're going to talk about Kriyishma. See a few notes on Kriyishma, and then we're going to learn about how this all brings to a greater state of Simcha Mitzvah. Shkayat.